Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for today has, I believe, something very pertinent for a group of people like you, professing and looking forward to being yourselves shepherds in the field. We have to look at the picture of what has actually happened here. It's in Capernaum, and our Lord has returned again. And the people are flocking to hear him, so much so that there's no way they can get at him. He's inside the house, and the house is surrounded by people. And along come four men carrying a crouch with another man on it, suffering from the palsy. No way they can get it, and so they go up the stairs and begin to tear the roof apart to let the man down before the Lord. And our Lord, on seeing this, is not only moved by the faith of the man of the palsy, but he says, on seeing their faith, he said, on their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And I think it's at this point there's a contrast that we can see in Scripture that is very, very important for our lives. To look at this in common day language, it's laymen who go on the roof and tear the roof apart, which wasn't a very common thing to do, which probably didn't leave them very comfortable as they tore the roof to let this other man down. But in the midst of the crowd sits the leaders of the church. And it's they who are disturbed by our Lord's words. One thing I have noted in the last number of years is that our Lord really wasn't crucified by the Romans. It was really the church that did it, with a small c. And throughout Scripture, it's the leaders of the church who have problems with the prophets, who have problems with those sent by the Lord, and it's they who initiate the problems that these individuals end up with. You too are going to be leaders in the church. More often than not, the word becomes so common that it and so familiar that it loses its importance. And we set aside the spiritual things of this world and take up the material things. It's a frustration that seems to come in as we watch the poor, the hungry, the lame, the sick, and our inability to meet their needs. That's why when someone is really in pain, we feel a little tinge of guilt when we say, if we say, "I'll pray for you." One of the things, this is again my opinion, that the Lutheran Church has lost sight of, that's the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of men and the power of prayer in the lives throughout the church. Right here in this miracle, we can see the acts of the layman as they tear the roof apart, and the acts of the leader of the church as they begin to question the spiritual value in saying, "Your sins be forgiven." And so our Lord, realizing the problem, says, "What is it easier to do? To say that your sins be forgiven, or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, I say to you, arise and walk." How often do you find yourself relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives, on the Word's ability to change your life? Are you still the master of your own fate? On the things in Scripture you don't understand, are you really the one who determines what Scripture really means? On trying to meet the frustrations of your own life, is it first do what you can and then pray, or pray and then do what you can? "Thy sins be forgiven" is something we as leaders and you as future leaders of the church need always remember. When Isaiah, through the Lord, was told to go out and say, comfort ye my people," he wasn't saying, "Bring them money and bring them bread." What he was first saying was, comfort, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. We all need to know this message, and as leaders of the church, we tend more often than not to forget it. When Christ died on the cross, his words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, was not only for the Jews, but it's for each and every one of us. It wasn't only for the weakness of the Jews who knew that word backwards and forwards and failed to see in it the work of Jesus in their lives. It's also us who, when we get into the word and have to preach and teach, not only to others in congregations, but to our own families, that we have to also remember the comfort is for them. The comfort is for us. The comfort is for a world that's hurting. It is a fact that these words of comfort were made to meet the physical needs of the world also, but they first have to calm the troubled heart. He has indeed borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was indeed wounded for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The scribes knew this, but they had seen so much, so many fakes. They knew the words so well. They were so familiar with it that the spiritual lost its impact on their lives. It was the layman who really didn't have a full grasp on what Scripture was saying that had the courage to go on a roof and tear a man's roof apart to let down a paralytic in front of the Lord. And our Lord's first words was not get up and walk, but your sins be forgiven thee. And for us, in case we do get involved with this social ministry over and above the spiritual ministry, his words are still true. But what is it easier to say? Your sins be forgiven, or arise and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, I say to you, arise and walk. When you firmly believe this, there's something else that's going to come true from this text in your life. When the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. The peace of the world is not going to be found, but the peace of the Lord is yours. It's a spiritual thing, and it's reinforced as we partake of his body and his blood. May this communion reinforce in you the spiritual virtues over and above the material, and may that peace which surpasses all human understanding be yours. Amen.